Now, as we go along, please ask questions. Because, again, we are touching on the Son. Okay? And there may be expression used that may not be clear to you. We want you to understand. And the Spirit of God is going to help. It is another line. Not another line, but to open it up as Brother Sam has laid a wonderful foundation. Essentially, personally, this Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, does God have a form? Could we put God in a shape? No. Because if you look at the ark in the Old Testament, it's the wood that gave a shape to the ark. It was made of fine gold, overlaid with fine gold. In the New Testament, it's the reverse. You find the gold is in the inside and the wood is on the outside. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. So finish explaining. Okay. The gold, again, so we could carry each other into this profound atmosphere. Let me use the word atmosphere. Into which we are traveling. God has given us a wonderful picture in the Old Testament. The ark that speaks of the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. God have no shape. Okay? He's a spirit. But the fact is that here is gold overlaying this wood that they made for this, to put in this table of, the two table of stones, Aaron brought that body, and the golden pot of man, and the mercy seat. All of that speaks of Christ, speaks of the Son of God. So the wood give him some shape to the ark. But in the New Testament, no. The wood is on the outside, and the gold is in the inside. So man could see a man, but it was God himself, as we had earlier on, walking here and being in the essence of all that he is, nothing set aside. You know, he lay aside his glory. There's nothing more, nothing like that. Is that all that he is presented, but it's veiled. That sound good? That sound clear? No, man. Matt, go ahead.
Matt is I was going to ask if it's similar at all to the express image of his person, and then there's any relationship to Genesis 1:26, where he said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness," which I think likeness is inward features. Is there any relationship to Hebrews 1:3 and or Genesis 1:26?
Yeah, we would link it with Hebrews 1:3, but I would not link it with Genesis initially. I would hesitate. Hebrews 1:3, very clear, it's the similar expression. The express image of his person, his substance. The expression of essence, express image, means that there is a presentation, an expression, a fullness of expression of the essence of the individual. Now, the reason why we're using this, the Spirit of God, as we said, did not say it just being God, but being in the form of God, that is the presentation of the essence of himself. It says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, There was nothing to grasp us after for this equality to be God, to be God, because He was God. He was God. So there was nothing to go after, or He did not even think it was something to hold on to, and I add the words, exclusively. Because as we're seeing, there's the wood and the gold. And very simply, the wood speaks of His humanity,
yes.
The gold speaks of His deity. And so when we think of 1 Timothy 3:16, this is God manifest in the flesh. Manifest. The manifestation is the expression. So we want to be very clear that God manifests, that's the goal. In flesh, that's the wood. And so when we say, it says, and he made himself of no reputation. The literal Greek, if you read Darby and other translations, they indicate that this making himself of no reputation means he emptied himself. But we want to be very immediately clear. He did not empty himself of deity. Do we underscore this enough? He did not and could not. Deity cannot change being deity. Cannot empty itself of deity. But what he did was in coming into manhood, he limited the full expression of the essence of his deity. There were some times that you just saw his humanity. He would sleep. That's humanity manifest. I want to say again, the Lord Jesus did not empty himself of deity. Can we say that enough? He emptied himself of some of the expressions, the full and normal and absolute expression of essence in taking on manhood. So that in manhood, he limited some of the expressions of his essence as God. But he did not empty himself of his essence as God. He still ever remained God.
So the apostle, in challenging us to conform to Christ, sets the bar impossibly high. Because when Paul always brings up Christ's humanity, Christ's deity, he always... there's a protection there. So while we're told to conform to Christ, we can never be exactly Christ. He's a level so far above us. I mean, while we're talking about this, our ability to conform to Him, we must always remember how far above us He is, which is what we have before us. He is God. He is the very God. And that's before we can even think of conforming, we have to remember that He is so far above us. I think that Paul, in showing his deed, he also defends it. Like, here's Christ, here's the goal. You'll never reach the goal, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try.